ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नारायणं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरय। नस्तात्रेषु अभात्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नास्तिकी। इदं भगवतं नाम पुराणं ब्रह्मसंहितं उत्तम श्लोकचरितं चकार भगवान् ऋषि। निःश्रेयसाय लोकस्य धान्यं स्वस्तनं महा मुखं करोति वाचलं पाङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपतां महं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम्। So we read from Srimad Bhagavatam this morning from 4th canto, 24th chapter, text 71, entitled The Chanting the Song sung by Lord Shiva, Shiva Stotram. Yoga Desham Upasadya Tarayanto Muni Prataha Samahita Diya Sarva Etat Abhyasata Atritaha Yoga Desha Mupasa Upasadya Yoga Desham Upasadya Tatra Yanto Muni Vrataha Tarya Yanto Muni Vrataha Samahita Dhiya Sarva Samahita Dhiya Sarva Etat Abhyasata Tritaha Etat Abhyasata Tritaha Yoga Desham Upasadya Tarayanto Muni Vrataha Samahita Diya Sarva Etat Abhyasata Tritaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So still Lord Shiva addressing the princes, the Prachetas, with the following instruction words. My dear princes, in the form of a prayer I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All of you should take this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently like a great sage, and by giving attention and reverence, you should practice these methods. Purport. In the Hatha Yoga system, one has to practice bodily exercises. dhyana, dharana, asana, meditation, etc. One also has to sit in one place in a particular posture or asana and concentrate his gaze on the tip of the nose. There are so many rules and regulations for the Hatha Yoga system. That is practically impossible to perform it in this age. The alternative system of Bhakti Yoga is very easy, not only in this age, but in others as well. For this yoga system was advocated long ago by Lord Shiva when he advised the princes, the sons of Maharaj Prachinibharhisat. The Bhakti Yoga system is not newly introduced. But even 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna recommended this Bhakti Yoga as the topmost yoga. As Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, 6:47. Yoginam api sarvesham atkate nantaratmana shradhavan pachate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Krishna speaking. The topmost yogi is he who constantly thinks of Krishna within himself and chants the glories of the Lord. In other words, this system of Bhakti Yoga has been existing from time immemorial and it is now continuing in this Krishna consciousness movement. The word Munivrataha is significant in this regard because those who are interested in advancing in spiritual life must be silent. Silence means talking only of Krishna Katha. This is the silence of Maharaj Ambarish. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo vacham sivakunta gunanu anane. King Ambarish always fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord and talked of him only. Quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 4th chapter, text 19. There's three verses explaining how Ambarish Maharaj executed his devotional service. We should also take this opportunity in life to become as good as a great saint simply by not talking unnecessarily with unwanted persons. We should either talk of Krishna or chant Hare Krishna undeviatingly. This is called Munivrata. The intelligence must be very sharp, samahita, diya, and should always be acting in Krishna consciousness. The word etat, abhyasata tritaha, indicates that if one takes this instruction from a spiritual master with great reverence, atrita, and practices them accordingly, he will find this bhakti yoga process to be very easy. Yoga desham upasadhya tarayanta munivrataha samahita diya sarva etat abhyasata tritaha. My dear princess, in the form of a prayer, I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All of you should take this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently, like a great sage, and by giving attention and reverence, you should practice this method.
So
So very nice verse, nice purport, important point given by Lord Shiva, who is universal teacher, Jagat Guru, helping the conditioned souls to come on a good level. And even Shiva is able, as it is pointed out in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he is able to even give liberation. He's such a great personality. He's not just the Guna avatar who is in charge for the Tamaguna, for those who are in ignorance, like the Buddhas, ghosts and like that. He is very, very dear to Krishna, and he is constantly absorbed in samadhi, samadho. As previously pointed out by Lord Shiva, those who are not fixed on Krishna or in the super soul within the heart, for them samadhi is not possible. Krishna same says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who are too much overpowered by Bhoga and Aishwarya, by sense gratification, opulences, it's very difficult to enter into samadhi, to fix one's mind single-mindedly on Krishna, on the personality of Godhead. Also, Krishna tells further that he who is once engaged in any yoga process, he has to fix his intelligence. Eka. What is the word? Ekeha Kurunandana. That's all? We have the Atmika. Thank you. We have the Atmika. Good here. Ekeha Kurunandana. So, to fix the intelligence on one point, that is yoga. And those who are Bahushaka, those who are many branched, who have many interests in this world, who have many desires, many ideas, even if they approach the Lord, or if they approach a certain yoga process, they cannot be fixed completely, because they're overwhelmed by unlimited desires. And that makes them unqualified. So one is actually unqualified in the Kali Yuga for the process of meditation. Any yoga process besides of Bhakti Yoga, it is pointed out here by Srila Prabhupada, in Kali Yuga is practically not possible. It is very important also to note that Lord Shiva, he is a Yogeshwara, or Yogishvara. That means he's the master of the yogis, especially the Hatha yogis, mystical yogis. That's a process, very old process. It's actually not Vedic. Hatha yoga is not a Vedic yoga process, although it's nowadays very famous. But actually it is invented by Lord Shiva, or by disciplic succession coming from him, or by great sages. But they are tantrics. Hatha Yoga is a tantric process, and it has six items. Asana, pranayam, dharana, dhyana, up to samadhi, pratyahara samadhi. So six processes they have. It's pointed out Vasila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his beautiful book Prema Pradip, where he describes how one yoga Babaji here in Vrindavan, he was attracted to the yoga process of Hatha Yoga. It's a nice story. It's a little book. So this Yoga Baba, he was following the process of Hatha Yoga, and he was mastering this process very nicely. Asana, pranayama, atyahara, withdrawing the senses from the sense objects, starting to contemplating and absorbing the mind, become one-pointed. Problem is, of Hatha Yoga, it's very unfavorable for bhakti. And that the yogi here in Vrindavan, who was not a bhakti yogi, he realized that. So one time he told, I went to Bhadrik Ashram. And in Bhadrik Ashram, I met one Raja Yogi. Raja Yogi is an Astanga Yogi, also known nowadays. Besides of the six before mentioned processes, they also follow two more processes. That means Yama and Yama. Rules, fixed rules and regulations. Proper place, the proper time, the proper meditation, prayers, mantra. That is actually in the Raja Yoga system included. Even Japa, it's included in the Astanga Yoga. In the Hatha Yoga, not. Hatha Yoga means, the propounders of Hatha Yoga, they say, the body is like an pot, a clay pot. But the clay pot, as long it is raw, uncooked, or I would say not baked, not heated, then he cannot become strong. He leaks. Water pours in, water flows out. So it cannot stay in the pot. But if the pot becomes burnt and becomes a nice pot, it's still any time possible to break it, that it gets a crack. And again, things are going, the liquid is going out. And so therefore the Hatha Yoga system, just they train the sadhaka, those who follow this tantra, strict rules of purification, external and internal purification, cleaning the different nerves, the nadis, all the different levels of the body inside, they clean completely in a mechanical way. And the yogi, this yogi here in Vrindavan, because due to the influence of Vrindavan and the sadhus here, and especially when he went to the Himalayas, first he became influenced by this Raja Yogi. And he gave up Hatha Yoga and he accepted Raja Yoga because he thought, this is more favorable for my meditation, because in the Raja Yoga system propounded by Patanjali Muni, great Vedic sage, it's a Vedic process. Raja Yoga is Vedic, Hatha Yoga is Tantric. Shiva followers and Shaktas, they follow Hatha Yoga. But the Vedic followers, Vedic Brahmanas and sages, they recommend Raja Yoga, Astanga Yoga, because in the Raja Yoga process is the gradual detachment, although mechanical, it's gradual detachment from the material conception and also subtle conception and from ego, and focusing ultimately, the purpose of this yoga system is to focus mantras, japa, mantra. They follow the process of absorbing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of a form of God. Even Patanjali Yogi, he's pointing out God has a form. He's not formless. And Bhagavatam says God, the Absolute Truth is realized in three aspects. Brahman, Paramatmiti, Bhagavan Iti Shatyate. Vadanti Tatvidas. This verse. The great Vedic sages, they define that the Absolute Truth, the non-dual Absolute Truth, Advaita, actually is realized in three aspects. First as Brahman, in Paramatma, the localized, impersonal, and then Bhagavan, the personal aspect of the Lord. So, ultimately, this is one Absolute Truth. They are not never separated from each other. But in Bhakti Yoga, if one has the fortune to meet Guru in the Bhakti line, coming from Brahma, coming from Narada, even Shiva here at this point is actually pointing out, no, the process of bhakti is very important. It's not that nowadays most of the Shaivites, those who are followers of Shiva, they're not interested in bhakti, especially not in Vishnu bhakti. But Prabhupada and in the Bhagavad Gita it is clearly pointed out, bhakti only means the process, bhajan, connected for the glorification and devotional service of Lord Krishna. Bhakti or bhajan has nothing else. Worship, Prabhupada is pointing out in the Gita, worship means worshipping of demigods. Demigod seva, or worship. But bhajan is not just a worship. It is bhajan, it means complete absorption. Actually, one acharya, he was also living here in Vrindavan, he was leading Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur and the Parikrama, Raghava Goswami. Raghava Goswami, he wrote one book where he describes the whole process of devotional service. There he is pointing out that Sankirtan means complete absorption. There's also an unknown author from a book released by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati and Srila Bhakti Nath Thakur, where the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam process is explained nicely by this unknown author. And he is also pointing out in that book specifically that Sankirtan means complete absorption, fixing the mind on Krishna, glorifying Krishna with your body, mind and words. And this goes suit with Srila Rupa Goswami's instruction, where he says, Ihayasya hare rasye karmano manaso gira nikhilapya vasasu jiva mukta sauchate. So he is defining what is bhakti. And he says, actually, bhakti, uchate, that what is called bhakti, is if one engages one's body, one's mind, one's words, in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here the story or the example of Ambarish Maharaj. Although he was a king, kings normally are very much attached to worldly things, powers like that, the great Ishvaras and bogis and Ishvaras, the enjoyers and Ishvara, great powerful men, controllers. But here we have one exemplary king. He fixed his mind, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindaya, beginning with the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanavanane, with his words he was glorifying the wonderful qualities of Krishna, his forms, his pastimes, like that. With his hands he was cleaning the floor in the temple. Although he had many servants, he was cleaning the temple himself. All the services, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, Smaranam, everything, the whole process, complete, ninefold process, he perfectly executed. Also Vratas, Ekadasi Vratas, he followed. But then one time, one yogi came, Durvasa. He was a mystic, he was not a devotee. He was interested in mystical powers. Bhakti, devotional service, was for him sentimental. Sentimental. But still, he thought, this is the king, I will visit him. But it wasn't Vadasi. And the king had to break the fast with his wife together. But the sage came exactly in that time, that point, and he asked, you know, can I take first my sandana, my duty, morning duty? Because I have to do, every brahmana has to perform his morning duty, taking bath, chanting Gayatri, all that, whole procedure. So the king told, okay. Then he came back, but he came back a little late, so the king thought, oh, why is he not coming back? Why is he not? So he thought, I have to break the fast, otherwise it may be great, also an offense of the whole Vrata. And he decided to break the fast by water. It was advised to him by his ministers and sages. But the sage became very angry. He realized that king didn't follow the etiquette, honoring a guest. So he immediately got angry. He teared a hair out of his hair and created a huge demon to destroy Ambarish. Durvasa is the incarnation of Rudra. So every angry person, whenever some kind like a Durvasa comes near you, better you go away. Hide yourself somewhere or please him in one way or another. Then you have no problem. Like Radharani, she got blessing of Durvasa because she was not hiding, she served him, pleased him, and Durvasa gave her blessing. Whatever you cook will be very sweet, like nectar, and whoever will eat it will have a long, long life. Chiranjeev. He will be. That's a blessing. So he can bless, but he can also become angry. But, alas, if he gets angry. So better don't make him angry, such a sage. So sages sometimes are very easily irritated. They're very irritable persons. Like Javanamuni. A great sage, he was very old, irritated. One time he hided himself because they can become anima, siddhi. He enters the hole of a glowworm. Glowworm. Glowworm? Light fly. Or some glowworm. With the two eyes he was looking out. Then one time a princess came there to the ashram with his father together and whole army. To visit the king, the very eminent sage. But the sage was there, hidden in this insect, in the bushes. So this princess, little girl, little Kumari, not married. So she took she saw these two points in the worm, and she took very glowing, very fiery, and she pierced it with a straw. Oh. What happened? But now there was the sage inside, hiding. And now suddenly all the king and the servants, they could not pass urine anymore. They could not pass urine anymore. They cannot digest anymore. So they go, They got so much problem, so much pain. They cannot go on the toilet and they have to go. And then the king immediately realized, oh, somebody has made an offense here. Somebody made an offense. Who is it? Then the princess said, sorry, father, I pierced here two light points, you know, in an insect, in a worm. Oh, father immediately thought, that must be the sage who was there in that, who was hiding in that place, in that body. So then suddenly the sage appeared, very old, gray hairs, and the king immediately offered obeisance and then asked the sage for forgiveness. The sage only reply was, is your daughter married? Old sage, is your daughter married? So the king said, no, she's not married yet. And then immediately the king understood, oh, better I give my daughter. Maybe this sage likes my daughter. So I hand him over my daughter. So in this way I can pacify him and I will not get cursed. And all my army will be saved, you know. Because there was no hospital nearby, you know, to get this, away of this problem. So in this way he handed over his daughter to the sage, Chavana Muni. And the king went back to his palace, so they were married. And after one time he came back, because in the meantime the sage, he gave special blessings to the Ashwini Kumaras. You heard about Ashwini Kumaras, they're twins. They're actually not demigods exactly, they're doctors of the demigods, Ayurvedic doctors. Therefore they have no access to drink the Soma juice of Indras or of any Vedic Soma Yajna sacrifice. They have no opportunity to take that or take their share. They're not invited for that. They're not privileged for that. But Javana Muni, he promised them, if you give me youthful body, if you rejuvenate my old body and make a young body, I will give you blessings that you can partake on the Somaras, drink the Somaras nectar, Amrit. And so of course, these two doctors, they were very eager for that. And they went with Javana Muni into the lake. And when they came out, three very beautiful young men appeared. And the princess was looking, oh, who is now my husband? Because all of them look very beautiful. But she knew, I have to choose the proper one, because if I choose the wrong one, one of the Ashwinis, then I'm in trouble, because I'm a Vedic woman. I'm only married with one husband. My father will become very angry. So she prayed to the Ashwinis, please tell me, reveal me, who is my husband? And the Ashwini Kumaras, they revealed them. That's him. They pushed him forward. And so in this way, she was living happily with Javana Muni together, who was an old sage and became young, rejuvenated. So when the king came and he saw one day his daughter sitting together with a young man, he chastised her, you unchaste girl, what you did? you gave up this old man, sage, and now our whole family you put in disgrace. So I'm very upset. So the daughter, she was very fixed and clear, because she knew I didn't do something wrong. I was chaste. I didn't broke my principle, my vow. And she told, no, my dear father, I didn't marry. Look at him. It is Javana Muni. He rejuvenated himself by the mercy of the Ashwini Kumaras. So anyway, the story is, sages can become very angry. It's the Rudra principle. Anger is very prominent. So, and Durvasa Muni, he was very angry. And he wanted to destroy Ambarish Maharaj, but Ambarish Maharaj was fearless because Sudarshan Chakra, the Lord's fire weapon, always was on the side of Ambarish Maharaj, ready to protect him. And now the sage was in problem. He got in problem. He had to run away, flee. He went to Brahmaloka, Shivaloka. Nobody could give him shelter. Ultimately, he went to Vishnu. And he thought, oh, okay, Ambarish Maharaj is Vishnu Bhakta. If I maybe can speak to his master and pacify him, please him, then I will get saved from the Sudarshan Chakra. But no, Vishnu just invited him. He heard what happened. And he told him, sorry, my dear Brahmana, sage, I cannot help you. Because I'm fully under the bounds, I'm fully bound up by the love of my pure devotee. Not even that, no. I'm completely submit myself to him. I'm not free, because I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee, who has the pure bhakti in his heart. And I'm not free to give you this blessing. Because whoever hurts this devotee also hurts me. And not only the devotee is dear to me, he told, what Vishnu told, or Lord Narayana in Vishnu Loka, he told, also the devotee of my devotee, the devotee of my dear devotee is similar dear to me. So the point is, you know, if one somehow or other becomes in contact with pure devotee and one gets mantra from him, if we get the mantra from the pure devotee, from proper sampradaya, mantras say nishpalamata, because if we have no mantra from the bona fide source of sampradaya, from the channel of disciplic succession and the representative, mantra will not have an effect. So mantra has to come from a pure devotee who gives us the mantra. He gives us Maha Mantra. He gives us also other mantras to chant. So Maha Mantra, we have two Maha Mantras in this age. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nitananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have two Maha Mantras, Panchatattva and Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prabhupada told these two mantras he has given us through the disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya, coming down from Brahma, disciplic succession. So this mantra I have given to you. It was before never revealed, but now this mantra is revealed for all over in the Kali Yuga. And although the Kali Yuga is the worst of all the ages, it became the best. Became the best of the ages. Because in this age, very easily, by Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one's life can become perfect. This is a special blessing by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by his pure devotees. And Srila Prabhupada, I think it was in 8th canto, in connection with the elephant Gajendra, he was in great scarcity because crocodile Maya captured him. He wanted to destroy him, kill him. And the Gajendra elephant, he was a devotee last life. He was King Indradumna. But he learned a mantra, a prayer, stotram. And even in the elephant body, because he made an offense to a sage and he was cursed to become an elephant, so even in the elephant body, this mantra was remained, it was active. So So that means the mantra that we receive from Guru is so potent, and also the prayers that the Guru is giving us is so potent that it will even stay with us life after life, eternally, nitya. It will never go. So therefore it's very important not to invent new mantras or find out from other sampradayas mantras and adopt them in our, because we think, oh, this is sensational, it's very nice, something new. No? We have to accept the mantras and the prayers that are recommended by our acharyas and our spiritual master. And if we follow that, and with intelligence, that means sharp-minded, single-mindedness, with sincerity, with reverence, that means with surrender, steadily as a sadhana, every morning, and the whole day, even the whole time, that we absorb in mantra and in these in different prayers. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the prayers by the acharyas, like Narottam Das Thakur, like Bhaktivinod Thakur, like Govinda Das, Kaviraj. So we have so many different prayers in our songbook. And all these prayers are actually not different from the Vedic hymns. So no prayer is invented. The prayers are coming, they are all in correspondence with the eternal truth coming from the Vedas. And therefore, they are very most beneficial for everyone in this universe. So Lord Shiva, he revealed this prayer, this stotra, to the princes, the prachetas, although they were not inclined for pure devotional service. They still had karma mishra. They had some desire to rule the world, to become strong kings in the future. But still, Shiva came and gave them mantra. But you see, it depends on our sincerity. The mantra is potent, but if we are not completely sincere or interested in the pure devotional service, we may deviate and forget the mantra and forget the process. And that actually happened to the prachetas. Although they had the mantra, they chanted the mantra and these prayers, totram, for many, many years, but then when they became kings and they took over the father's kingdom, for many, many, many years, they gradually forgot. They forgot mantra, they forgot all these prayers what Lord Shiva has given them. But they were very fortunate because they were engaged in many fruitive activities, and although they forgot their prayer, they became gradually fried by their activities, and they wanted to give up the kingdom, to go to the forest, to prepare. And who came? Narad Muni. Narad Muni, who came, and he again gave them instructions, sadhana, process, and where they could fix their mind and engage in devotional service to Krishna. And this time, they became successful. So Shiva's mantra is not his mantra or his prayer. That's in tomorrow's verse. It comes from Brahma himself. He gave it to all the prajapatis who were empowered for the creation of the material world. And this mantra was also given now by Shiva to the prachetas. And this mantra or this prayer is full of the holy names, of the different forms, qualities, pastimes, activities of the Lord, the single Lord with his different manifestations. like Vishnu Sahasranam, as 1,000 names of Vishnu. In this prayer, you know, if you go through it, through these 70 verses, you will find out that practically in every sloka, there are so many names of the Lord, so many different names. Therefore, it's kirtan. Lord Shiva, he gave a kirtan. Kirtan mantra, glorification of the Lord and His beauty, His lotus feet, His activities, His different forms, His different manifestations, His creation. That's all different names of the Lord. First class name and second class names, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And somehow or other we have to become attracted to the names of the Lord and chant His names. And if we regularly chant and repeating the names, if possible, with a pure motivation, although it is described, even if your motivation in the beginning is not clear, if you go on chanting and repeating these prayers, everything will become clear, everything will become easy. So, for the end, I want only to read you one nice verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, without commentary I give. From Madhya Lila, 25th chapter, text 278. Ye Lila Amrita Vine Kaya Yadi Anapane Tape Bhaktera Durbala Jivana Yara Eka Bindu Pane Utpulita Tanumane Hase Gaya Kare Nartana. So it's a verse spoken by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He says, man becomes strong and stout by eating sufficient grains, but a devotee who simply eats grains but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna gradually becomes weak and falls down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to blossom and he begins to laugh, to sing, and to dance. Hare Krishna. Kantaraj Simapagatam Gijai. Maybe one question? Or? Can you give it my microphone?
Thank you, Prabhu. What is the reincarnation? Reincarnation.
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 A real one.
A real incarnation. What it is? You read Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter. You have Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
You have? You can read? So you read, there is a whole list. Sutta Goswami gives whole list of scheduled incarnations and also future incarnations. Like Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years ago, so even future incarnations like Buddha, Buddhadev and Kalki are prophesied. And also the incarnation 22, beginning with Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Nisingha, Vamana, Parushuram, Ram, Raghupati, Ram, Balaram, Buddha, Kalki, and so on. They're there. Naranarayana Rishi. They're all avatar. Avatar means coming down. Krishna is not avatar, he's avatari. He is the origin of all avatars. So if you want to know who is an avatar or an incarnation, then you have to look in scripture. And if somebody in modern time in India says, I'm an avatar, then you say, what is your name, my dear sir? And then you look on the name and then you I was saying Bhagavatam, and you see, oh, sorry, you are not listed here. You are not bona fide. Because avatars have to be scheduled, like a train schedule. Maybe not train in India, but train in Switzerland, they are quite punctual most of the time. So they go always in proper time, in minutes. Conduct. Everything is very punctual, you know, otherwise they smash in each other, electronical and not computerized. So these incarnations have to be scheduled, has to be in Shastra. No? And in Kali Yuga, sorry, there is no incarnation. There's no incarnation mentioned. No? There's no scheduled incarnation for Kali, because the Lord is three yuga. He appears in Satya, in white form, as a Hamsa, in Treta as Yagya, in red form, complexion, and in Dvapara Yuga as Krishna, blackish form. And sometimes in other yugas doesn't come in all the yugas in all the same forms. Sometimes Ramachandra is also one in Treta Yuga avatar. He has green complexion. But in Kali Yuga there is no Leela avatar. It's only Jana avatar, hidden incarnation, and it already appeared. Lord Chaitanya, this place is already given. So it's occupied already. He already appeared. So, and after him there is no other avatar. Only the next one will be Kalki. But better you should not face him, because if you are not surrendered. Clear?
I have one more question. This kind of soul represented by Lord Krishna and Arjuna. This kind of soul represented by Lord Krishna and Arjuna. This kind of.
He is saying which kind of souls are represented by Krishna and Arjuna.
Not bad. Supreme Soul. There's one emperor verse in Bhagavatam. First canto, third chapter. Text 28. It's emperor verse. Not the king verse, but emperor verse. And this is Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsham Krishna Stu Bhagavan Svayam Indriyari Vyakalam Va Samba Mirgayanti Yuge Yuge. So Krishna is Tu Bhagavan Svayam. Krishna is Tu Bhagavan Svayam. He's Bhagavan. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Svayam, original. He's not an incarnation. Otherwise, no other incarnation is described by Sutta Goswami as Bhagavan Svayam. Only one, Krishna. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, himself. And Arjuna, plays the role of his dear devotee. So about Arjuna, there's also the information that the two lords, Nara and Narayana, rishis from Himalayas, Badrinath, they appeared as Krishna and Arjuna. But how to understand this? That means Krishna is Bhagavan Svayam, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayana Rishi from Himalayas and Nara, they are incarnation. It's an expansion of Krishna. So if Narayana Rishi would be Arjuna, Krishna and Arjuna, then Krishna would not be Krishna to Bhagavan Svayam. Then he would be also a partial incarnation. Understand? But that he is not. Because he is avatari. And the meaning is, if Krishna's avatar, all other avatars, like Narayana Rishi, Nisinga, Ram avatar, all are incarnate with him together. Clear? You understand? So they incarnate with him together. And Nara, he's described in the verse Narayana Namaskritam, Naram Chaivam Narottamam. He's the topmost of the human beings. So Narayana Rishi, with Nara together, Nara Narayana, Nara is an expansion of Narayana. So, and this Nara, he is incarnating with Arjuna. But Arjuna, he is an eternal associate of Krishna, as a friend. He is Krishna's friend, pure friend. Outside of Vrindavan, Arjuna is the greatest friend of Krishna, outside of Vrindavan. There's two kinds of friends. The Pura Sambandhyas and the Braja Sambandhyas. They're the friends here in Vrindavan and the friends outside of Vrindavan. And the friends outside of Vrindavan, that means the Pura Sambandhyas, are headed by Arjuna. That you can read in Nectar of Devotion. It's not speculated. Okay? Hare Krishna. Praise Prabhupada.